Thank you, Michael. My mother, who is from a Lutheran background, was excited that we were going to be singing A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And she was very ecstatic that that was going to be happening today. It's good to have you. If you're visiting with us today at Downtown Baptist Church, I want to let you know that I am not Dr. Kerry Bates. He is our senior pastor. The way that you know the difference is pretty simple. He's a lot taller and a lot better looking. So you'll want to come back in a couple weeks when he returns from his well-deserved vacation with his wife, Lynn. They have earned it. They need it. And we're glad that we as a staff can jump in and pick up the slack there. But come back in a couple weeks. He will be here. And we would love for you to meet our senior pastor. But I'm glad to be with you today, and if you have your Bibles, would you please take them and turn with me to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. These are days of tremendous uncertainty. Every time that you go online or pick up a newspaper, it seems as if another nation has cast off their leadership. And it seems as if leadership is changing more rapidly than we change our pair of shoes. And as one who understands that we live in a global world where we must get along with other nations, sometimes we may feel that things are getting out of control. And then when we come to a day like today on 9/11, where we remember such a horrific event, we are tempted to say, is life totally out of control at present? Where do you go in the midst of trouble? Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. What a tremendous confidence to have in the midst of chaos. But I would ask you the question, where do you go when you're in trouble? Now, before you answer that question, we have to define what trouble really is. Now, trouble is not coming home 15 minutes past your curfew and having your father sitting in the living room. That's a quandary, but that's not trouble. Trouble is not having a car that starts on an infrequent basis. There's no such thing as car trouble. Now, there are car problems, but car problems are not real trouble. And when you're a pitcher in baseball and you have bases loaded and there are no outs and you're trying to protect a one-run lead, you're not in trouble, as they say. You're in a jam, but you're not in trouble. And when the sun goes down, for those of you married men, on Saturday night, And two of the things that you have been assigned to do on a list of three are still undone. You are not in trouble with your wife. Well, you might be. You're in a mess, but that's not trouble. You see, trouble, according to the scriptures, is what we find if you were living in the 9th century BC. And King Jehoshaphat was your king. And you were a young child there, and you were assembled in the midst of the city. And you were hearing your king tell you as your people that the armies of the Moabites and the Ammonites and other armies were marching against the city, and the city might possibly be overthrown. Now that, my friend, is trouble. Trouble is also being the focal point of a movement like the Reformation. Taking the lead, like Martin Luther did. Posting 95 theses on a door and engaging the established church of the day. And then finding defections and low morale. And you're the focal point, the lightning bolt of the movement. Knowing that if they overthrow you, it will probably mean death. Now, Martin Luther, at those moments, he was in trouble. That's why we have the song, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," today. Because Martin Luther and all of his faithful cohorts would sing the 46th Psalm to encourage themselves and to give them strength to keep moving forward with what God had called them to do. And so, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God" is a song that was birthed out of the 46th Psalm. Real trouble is when East meets West, and West becomes East, and North becomes South, and South becomes North. And the streets that you're used to walking every day are now littered with pieces of concrete that are falling off buildings that are burning. That's trouble. Trouble is when, as you look up into two towers, there are planes that have crashed into those towers, and there are people leaping out of the windows of those buildings. That's trouble. Trouble is when those buildings crash down, and rivers of soot and debris are forced up each and every street and alley, and you're forced to flee for your life. That is trouble. Trouble is being a passenger on an airplane above Pennsylvania somewhere and understanding that the plane is no longer in control of the pilot, and then hearing through your cell phone and various news accounts that that plane is headed for a destination to take the lives of Americans. You are in trouble at that point. Trouble is when you have your television set on and you glance at it at 8:45 on 9/11. And you see the South Tower fall, just as Susan Greer Rescorla did. And she knew that her husband was in that tower. And you're in trouble when you go running out the front door and you hear the screams of two other women whose husbands also work in that tower. And you go from tree to tree all over your yard. You're looking for someone to hug. You're looking for someone to share that moment with. You want another human being to embrace. And there's no one in that moment of grief. That is trouble. Where do you go when you're in trouble? Our scripture today, we'll only deal with verse 1 and 2a. There's so much here. We could spend all day. This is a virtual buffet of truth about the living God. But we'll confine our comments to verses 1 and 2a. But trouble is defined here by the author as if the terra firma is falling away. As if those situations where the mountains have broken off and dropped into the sea and the ground is breaking up, as if the earth was returning back to its pre-day 3 creation condition. That's trouble for any human being. Where do you go in the midst of your trouble. Today's sermon is entitled Confidence in the Midst of Chaos. And certainly we need that confidence today. When sickness knocks on the door of our family, we're in trouble. When uncertainty about our future knocks on our door, we're in trouble. And we need confidence in the midst of a chaotic world. Well, we thank and praise God for verses 1 and 2. Any first-year seminarian could preach today's sermon. The points are right there for us. But you find confidence in the midst of chaos by, first of all, realizing, number one, that God and He alone is our refuge. God and He alone is a refuge for His children. And if you have that relationship with the living God, and you've come to know Him through the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have established that father-child relationship with Christ, then whatever the trouble, whatever the problem, God will always be your refuge. Now, when you think of the word refuge, what comes to mind for you? When I think of refuge, I think, first of all, of shelter. I think of a shelter. I think for a way of escaping that which is falling on me or about me. So when I think of the word shelter, it equates with refuge. Proverbs 14:26 said, "He who fears the Lord has a strong fortress, and for his children it will be a refuge." I think back to my early days when I was just starting to work. My dad was really kind of smart. He got a construction job for me during the summer after my senior year of high school. And the job entailed me going out and working on portions of highway down in Miami that was connecting the Palmetto to the interstate. And so we were building miles and miles and miles of highway. And my job was to stand out in the middle of nowhere and dump the rock trucks that would come and bring the rock necessary to continue building the road. Now, it sounds like a plush job, but the problem was it was in the middle of nowhere. There was nothing for 200 yards that way, and there was nothing for 200 yards that way, and there was nowhere to go that way and nowhere to go that way. And you can imagine the Dade County storms early in the afternoon of summer. And inevitably, during the course of the summer, I would stand there with nowhere to go, and I would see the storms approaching in the distance. And they would get closer and closer and closer. And then eventually I would begin to feel the raindrops dropping on top of my construction helmet, and then eventually it would be a total downpour, and I would be soaked every inch of my body. But there were times that those dump truck drivers would get there a little early before the storm hit. And they would pull up and they would throw open the door of their cab and they would say, "Get in." And I would jump in even just for a few minutes. They would give me shelter. They would give me refuge from the coming storm when I had no other place to go. So when I think of God as our refuge, I think first of all of Him as our shelter. But then I also think of God being our refuge as being our safety. It's nice to be safe. I love Proverbs 18:10. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and they are safe." God is our refuge. He is our safety in the moments of trouble. Have you ever been caught in a blizzard? We don't have too many of those down here in Central or South Florida. But I remember years ago, we were traveling on a mission team and we were taking a missionary up to Kamloops, British Columbia. And I had never been caught in a whiteout before. I didn't know what a whiteout was. But I learned very quickly as we were traveling through the northern part of Montana. The snow began to come down, and at first I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was wonderful to look at. But then the snowflakes got larger and larger and larger, and they looked about the size of saucers. They were that big. And there was nowhere to go. We couldn't even see in front of us. So we got off the highway and went into a small town and explained to the local Baptist church, there was a small Baptist church there, that we were on a mission team, the two of us. We were heading to Kamloops, British Columbia. And the church put us in their sanctuary for the duration of the blizzard. And I remember that night getting up, looking out the window as the snow continued to pile up and pile up and pile up. Higher and higher and higher it went, but we were nice and warm on the inside. The conditions were the same, but we were safe. God is our refuge. But when I think of the word refuge, I think of a third thing. I think of refugees. I think of those people that are in search of security. And when you go to the book of Hebrews and you look at chapter 6, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged, because we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And so those early believers thought of themselves as refugees, looking for a place of security. And is that not what we are as the people of God? Are we not aliens and strangers, simply passing through the course of time, marching towards our future existence as we live with the Almighty God forever? Is that not who we are? And so when I think of God as my refuge, I think of the fact that He, being my refuge, gives to me, the refugee, total, total security. God is our refuge, no matter the trouble we find ourselves in. But there's a second thing that you see there in verse number 1. Number 2, God is not only our refuge, but God is our strength. I don't know about you, but I know that there are many times when I simply don't have the strength that I need to do the tasks that God lays in front of me. And I think if we were all honest, we would all feel that way. And we would all be honest about that, that there are times that God calls us to do things and we try and move on our own strength, and we just don't have the strength. But the Bible says here that God is our strength in trouble. There are times that life is out of our control, is it not? There are times when we have nothing left to say about the outcome of a situation. I don't think many of the people on 9/11 had much to say about the outcome of their lives that day. That outcome was out of their control. But those that knew the Lord could rely on His strength, because the Bible says God is our strength in times of trouble. When I look at 2 Chronicles 32, verses 7 and 8, and I think about the strength of God being defined by King Hezekiah, as Sennacherib's army, the army of Assyria, was marching towards Jerusalem, Hezekiah gathered the people together and he made this pronouncement. He said, "Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him, for there is a greater power with us than with him. With him is only the arm of the flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." That's what it means when we say that God is our strength. And then I love where David says in Psalm 33, 16 through 19, David declares plainly that no king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance, despite all of its great strength. It cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and to keep them alive in famine. That's the strength of our God. God is our strength. I have immersed myself in stories of 9/11 this week. I have read more stories of tragedy than I have triumph. I have read the stories of lives of people who needed God's strength and still need God's strength today. And there have been times in my life where I have had to simply tell God in that moment that life is out of control for me. And I need you now. I need your strength. And one of those times, my life was actually on the line. Several years ago, I was in Atlanta attending a Braves baseball game. And I got out of the baseball game and got turned around on the highway and thought that I could make my way back to my hotel by going a different route. And this was in the days prior to cell phones when we all carried beepers. And several times during the course of the ball game, Alicia had beeped me and just to say goodnight, and I had not been able to return it till I left the ballpark. And then there were a couple of detours, and I tried to make my way north according to my little finder on my mirror, and I got lost. And so I thought I'd better call, and I pulled over to a payphone there, and there was a girl standing next to it. It was in an open area, and I thought, okay, I'll just wait. And I rolled down the window of the car, and I said, excuse me, are you waiting on a call? And she said, no, are you looking for a date? And I said, oh, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. And I tried to roll the window back up, and as I was rolling it back up, another gentleman walked by me, and he said, excuse me, do you know what time it is? And I said, sure, and I reached up and got my beeper, I clicked it, and I said, it's 12:00, and when I turned and said the word 7, there was a 9mm sticking straight in my window. And the young man who had asked me the question was on the running boards of my car. I felt the coldness of that barrel against my head as he leaned across in the window. And he said, don't drive off, because I will kill you. Well, I accelerated and tried to sling him off. He came in the car, rolled up, and stuck the gun to my head again and said, I told you to stop. And I stopped. And he didn't know it, but I was praying. And I said, Lord, I need your strength now. I need your wisdom, and I need your strength. I'm no longer in control here. And he instructed me to back up and to take a left and a right and a right and then a left and a left and then a right. And finally, he stopped the car and he continued with the gun in the other hand, looking through everything that I had. And on the way that we were driving there, I said to him, listen, you're going to get what you want. Take it easy. But I want you to know a couple things. Number one, I forgive you before anything goes down today. Because life must be pretty bad if you're having to do this in order to survive. That startled him. But God used that. Well, eventually I thought he was getting out, but a car pulled up and a second gunman got in. And that gun was put to the back of my head as well. Well, eventually I got out of the car and they took the vehicle and drove off, and I was fortunate to be alive. God had rescued me. He had been my strength. And I began to knock on doors in a very difficult neighborhood in Atlanta. I knocked on 16 doors, and then eventually a door opened up and a woman allowed me to come in to use the phone. That became my refuge. She became my strength. And I dialed 911. God is our strength when life gets beyond our control. But there's a third thing that we look at as we finish. Not only is God our refuge, not only is God our strength, but hallelujah, God is our help. God is our help. And it is so good to be able to call out to our Heavenly Father and say to Him, Papa, I need help. Is it not? To be able to have that intimate relationship with the living, almighty Creator God. And to be able to call out to Him when we find ourselves in trouble and simply say, Papa, I need help. God is our help. Hebrew scholars are divided as to what the text really means there, and there are two thoughts. One you might have in your translation, and that is the word ever-present. That's in the NIV. I like what Franz Delitzsch, the great Old Testament scholar, has said about the term ever-present. He said this means that God allows Himself to be found in times of distress. To those who then seek Him, He reveals Himself and He verifies His word beyond all measure. That's what it means to be ever-present. I think back to Paul's testimony in Acts 26 before King Agrippa. He's laying out the testimony of his life. And then he gets to verse 22 and he says, but God has always been a help to me. Throughout all of my journeys, no matter where I went, in spite of all of my trials, despite all of my shortcomings, God has always been a help to me, Paul says. An ever-present help. Several years ago, Mel Gibson made a movie called We Were Soldiers. And it was a reenactment of a true battle that occurred in the early days of the Vietnam War in 1965 in November. And it was the story about a group of men, about 200, that were in a landing zone trying to fight their way out of a very difficult situation. Mel Gibson is playing a lieutenant colonel who was a true individual, Lieutenant Colonel Moore, if you remember the film. And there comes a time where the North Vietnamese regulars have broken through on all sides. Alpha Company doesn't answer. Charlie Company doesn't answer. Bravo Company is in shambles. His radio man is asking what to do. Every part of his perimeter is collapsing. And the enemy is encroaching on all sides. And Mel Gibson gets up and resolutely walks to his right, surveys the situation, walks back to his left, surveys the situation, looks forward, surveys the situation, and calls his radio control person over. And he says two words, broken arrow. Broken arrow. And the call goes out. And those that are in charge of making the big decisions on a carrier that is off the coast, they say, did he say broken arrow? My gosh, they've been overrun. Broken arrow was the code word that was used to designate a U.S. company or group that had been overrun in battle and was about to be annihilated. And when the call broken arrow went out, it meant that every warplane in the area that could get there was to stop what they were doing if they were not engaging the enemy, and they were to divert all of their attention and all of their firepower to the rescue of that company or battalion or group of men. Broken arrow. And within minutes, you have planes diving out of the sky and rescuing the American troops there that day. It's a powerful scene of rescue, of help, of ever-present help. Those planes were there. They just simply needed to be called in. They were there all the time. They were flying in different areas. But the call broke, an arrow went out, and the planes began to come and to help and to take care of the situation. And there have been times in my life where I've had to simply stop before the Lord and just say, broken arrow. Broken arrow. And then be still. Scholars say not only could this mean ever-present, but it also means thoroughly proved. Thoroughly proved help. Do we really have time today to enumerate the moments and occurrences when God has been a thoroughly approved help in our lives? We don't have the time. God has been so good to us over the years of our life, has He not? Has He not blessed us with help when we needed it? Has He not given us victory in life when we've been staring in the face of defeat? God is a thoroughly proved help in times of trouble. No matter if the terra firma begins to fall, no matter if the mountains begin to break apart and fall into the sea, it doesn't matter if nations rise and come against the church and persecute us as a body of believers. Our security and our help is in the holy city, in the holy city of God, where God Himself sits on His throne with Jesus at His right hand. And because of that, He is our refuge, He is our strength, and He is our help in all times of trouble. With this being 9/11, I would like to close with a story that sets the tone for that. I commend to you the New Yorker magazine from 2002, February edition, if you get a chance to read it. It has an article on a man named Rick Riscorla. Rick Riscorla was a British citizen who came to the United States because he wanted to participate in the Vietnam effort against communism. He had already fought in Rhodesia, and he came to the U.S. to wait his time so that he could join our military and fight communism. Well, after he had put his time in the military, he went on to the University of Oklahoma and got a law degree and moved on into some other endeavors. But in 1993, he was the head of security for Morgan Stanley when the first bombing of the Trade Center occurred. And after the first bombing occurred, he went and laid out very carefully a plan that Morgan Stanley needed to enact. And he even recommended that they move their offices away from the trade towers and take them over into Jersey for security. Well, his plan was rebuffed, and the higher-ups said, well, that's fine, and the Port Authority said, we're safe, and he even called in a good buddy of his, and you'll read the story, and he affirmed what the gentleman was trying to do. So Rick Riscorla simply said, okay, if we can't move, we're going to be prepared. And so he put together an evacuation plan for all of the employees on the 20th through the 22nd floor of Trade Tower 2. And man, the employees didn't like it. They didn't like it at all. Because here was this former soldier with a bullhorn. And twice a year he would make them evacuate two by two in the stairwell And they would go down floor by floor. And if they made fun of it, he would bark orders back at them. And they practice it 2 times a year. Well, 10 years ago today, when the first plane hit the building, the other tower, Rick put his evacuation strategy into play. And he began to evacuate the employees of Morgan Stanley. Nearly 2,000 employees made it out alive. And as they were going down the stairs, he was saying over his bullhorn, "Nice and steady, everybody. It's a great day to be an American. You're going to be proud of yourself tomorrow. Everybody stay in line. We'll be getting out of here soon." And finally, when the last employee was gone, he went back to look for others, to make sure there wasn't one final person missing. And a few moments later, the building collapsed. And he died. But when I think of an ever-present help in times of trouble, this man was used to be God's hands, to spare the lives of those that he escorted out. God is our refuge, and he is our strength, and he is our help in times of real trouble. In a moment before the invitation, Michael is going to sing a song. It will be a time of reflection after we pray. If you're here today and you're struggling with something and you need that type of help in trouble, we're going to take the moments of Michael solo before the invitation for just a moment of reflection to cry out to God. If you need others, if you know others that need that help as well, pray for them during this time. As we come together as a body, let's pray for the sick in our fellowship. Let's pray for those that are hurting. And after this prayer, Michael, will you come? Heavenly Father, we are humbled by the fact that we can call you Father. We thank you that when we are in trouble, you are our refuge. Father, we thank you that when we are weary, you are our strength. And Father, we thank you that when we are confused and we've lost control of life, you are our help. And now, Father, in the quietness of this moment, help us to be still and to know that you are God.
In awe and be amazed, and know that he will never that He is God, be still. And know that He is God, be still. Be speechless. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know He is our Father. Come rest your head upon His breast. Listen to the heart of His falling heart of love, beating for His little ones, calling each of us to
We serve a great God, do we not? A merciful God. Today, we've preached a message on God's help in trouble, God's strength, God's refuge. You may be here today and you've never made a profession of faith in Christ, and you say, what does that mean? I would ask you point blank, has there ever been a time in your life where you established that relationship with God as Father? Are you walking in that relationship every day? Because you see, as we're walking in that relationship with God every day as our Father, then it makes it easy to call out for help. If you're here today and you've never made that commitment to Christ, you're not even sure how to go about doing it, but you know you want more of God, you want a relationship with Him, I would ask you in a moment simply to slip out of your seat and to come. We'll have our pastors here at the front, Brother Jerry. Carl will be over here as well. Or you may be here today and you want to recommit your life, or you want to just come and pray. I want to invite you to do that. We're going to be singing hymn number 316. If you'll stand, please, in the hymnal, "Jesus is Tenderly Calling Today" will be our hymn of invitation. If you've never made that commitment to Christ, you come as we are here today.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam, farther and farther away, calling today.
God bless you.
Is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today, bring Him thy burden and you shall be blessed. He will not turn thee away. Calling today. Calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today.
We've got people here that are praying. There's room for others. Come and pray. We'll leave the invitation open. If you need prayer in your life, we'll pray with you. If you need Christ, we can share with you how to make that decision. In these moments, as God's Spirit is moving, today is the day of salvation. The Bible says, don't harden your heart as some did, because today is the day of salvation. If God is speaking to you, make that decision. Slip out and come. Come pray. Join those that are here.
Jesus is waiting. Oh, come to Him now. Waiting today. Waiting today. Come with thy sins at His feet lowly bow. Come and no longer delay. Calling today. Calling today. Jesus is calling. His tenderly calling today.
Brother Jerry.